भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading this morning from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 22 entitled Krishna Steals the Gopis' Garments, text number 26. Na mai aveshita dhiyam kamaha kamaya kalpate bharjitaha kvathitaha dhanaha prayaha बीजाय न इष्यते नमय्यावेशितधियाम् कामकामाय कल्पते भर्जिता क्वथिता धानाः प्रायो बीजाय नेष्यते नमय्यावेशितधियाम् कामः कामाय कल्पते भर्जिता क्वथिता क्वथिता धानाः प्रायो बीजाय नेष्यते नमय्यावेशितधियाम् कामः कामाय कल्पते भर्जिता क्वथिता धानाः प्रायो बीजाय नेष्यते अर्जिता क्वथिता धानाः प्रायो बीजाय नेष्यते नमय्यावेशितधियाम् मनः कामाय कल्पते Ladies, Namaya Vishitadhyam Kama Kamaya Kalpate Na, not, mai, in me, aveshita, fully absorbed, dhiyam, of those whose consciousness, kamaha, desire, kamaya, to material lust, kalpate, leads, bharjitaha, burned, क्वथिताः कुक्ड धानाः ग्रेन्स प्रायः फॉर द मोस्ट पार्ट बीजाय न्यू ग्रोथ न इष्यते आर नॉट केपेबल ऑफ कॉजिंग ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन The desire of those who fix their minds on me does not lead to material desire for sense gratification. Just as barley corns burnt by the sun and then cooked can no longer grow into new sprouts. Purport. The word mai aveshita dhyam are very significant here. Unless one has achieved an advanced degree of devotion, One cannot fix the mind and intelligence on Krishna, since Krishna is pure spiritual existence. Self-realization is a state not of desirelessness, but rather of purified desire, wherein one desires only the pleasure of Lord Krishna. The gopis were certainly attracted to Krishna in a mood of conjugal love, and yet having fixed their minds and indeed their entire existence completely on Krishna, their conjugal desire could never manifest as material lust. Rather, it became the most exalted form of love of Godhead ever seen within the universe. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Panghum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Paramananda Madhavam Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, we are concluding in the trailing part of this chapter, which talks about Krishna stealing the garments of the gopis. This chapter begins with the very powerful principle of desire. Whether on the material plane or on the spiritual plane, for any achievement, desire is the most crucial principle. No one is able to achieve anything material or spiritual without having focused desire to achieve that. Herein we find the gopis desiring to have Krishna and desiring to have the service of Krishna, and they are absolutely focused in their desire to achieve the grace of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Just like sun rays, when they are totally scattered here and there, do not do much. But when the sun rays are accessed through a solar panel, or when they are accessed through a magnifying focal lens, then the concentrated sun rays can achieve something. Similarly, when there is focus of a desire, then that focused desire is able to achieve something in life. There is a very beautiful verse in the Niti Shastra which talks about a very amusing kind of chain, a very amusing kind of shackle called Shrinkhala. Ashanam hi manushyanam kachid ascharya shrinkhalam. Ascharya shrinkhala means a very amusing kind of shackle, bedi, handcuffs and shackles. And why is this called so amusing? Because generally it is seen that a person who is shackled by chains cannot run. Jiske haath pair mein bedi bandhi, one who is totally shackled by handcuffs and chains is not able to move around and run. Conversely, one who is not shackled, free from shackles, you know, is very much free to run. We are not shackled, so we can run from one place to the other. Sometimes you see in the temple hall, little children coming, they find it's like a football ground. You know, it's like a free place, and the amount of energy they have to run, my goodness, they can run like anything. Krishna as a little child also was running around here and there, and then mother Yashoda tied him up with a rope, Shrinkhalam. And immediately as one is tied up, the ability to run is gone, you know. So people who are tied up cannot run. People who are free and are not shackled can run at full speed. This particular Shrinkhala, Ascharya Shrinkhala, does exactly the opposite. People who are bound by this chain run at full speed. And people who are free from this chain sit peacefully in one place without running. This shrinkhala is called asha or desire. One who is bound by the chain of desire, we find them running like anything to fulfill that desire. When the heart is bound up by this shackle called desire for money, position, power, there is constant running around, unlike a person who is shackled who will peacefully sit in one place. Conversely, a person who is free from that shackle, desire, and doesn't want anything, he sits in one place looking at all those people who are shackled running, and he is also amused. But look at these people who are shackled and bound up and are running at full speed. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Akamaha sarvakamova mokshakamaha udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushaparam. There are these three categories. Sarvakam, one whose heart is full of kamana, full of desires, dhanam, janam, putram, daram, so many desires. Sarvakam, the heart is full of desires, and therefore Paramatma in the heart is working overtime. You know, our acharyas have said that Tomar Hidaye Sada Govinda Vishram. Lord Govinda does Vishram in the heart of a devotee because there is no kamana. But for others, their heart is so filled with kamana that Paramatma has to work constantly to match the following. Desires? Okay, deserves, no? If he desires, he deserves, fulfill it. He desires, he doesn't deserve, don't fulfill it. Constantly working. Paramatma is on the go in the heart of a person who is sarvakam. Then there is mokshakam. Mokshakam is wanting liberation, shanti, peace. And then there is akam, where there is no desire. Sarvakam, full of desire. Mokshakam, desire for liberation. And akam is no desires at all, desireless practically. Nothing, no ichha. The fourth is krishnakam, you know, wanting Krishna. The gopis here, who are the Braj Kumarikas, in the Sharad season, Lord Krishna had his pastimes with the married gopis. And this particular chapter talks about the Kumari gopis or the Braj Kumarikas, who were not married. And they had a desire. They were obsessed by a desire in the Hemant Ritu. Sharad Ritu was for the married gopis, and the Hemant or the winter season, all the young unmarried gopis wanted Krishna. Nanda Gopaha Sutam Patihi. Nanda Gopa Sutam, the son of Nanda Gop, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Patihi, they wanted him as a husband. Desire is required on the material or spiritual plane. Without focused desire, there is no question of any achievement. So they were obsessed by this desire that we want to have Krishna as our husband. Nanda Gopa Sutam Patihi. Once when Srila Prabhupada was in Montreal, Govinda Devi and Gaur Sundar Prabhu, they were staying with Srila Prabhupada. Because of his visa requirements, Srila Prabhupada could not move out. So for 3 months he was staying in Montreal, and they were staying in an apartment called Prince Arthur's apartment. And right at that time when Prabhupada turned 72 years old, it was Srila Prabhupada's birthday. And in the temple, devotees had arranged for a birthday celebration. But Govinda Devi thought, let me do something special and unique for Srila Prabhupada. So that morning she got up early and she thought of baking a cake for Srila Prabhupada. And she made a 2-layer cake, frosted it with a lot of butter and sweet cream. And after making it all ready, she couldn't get 72 candles obviously. So she put about 14 candles on top of the cake and lit all the candles up. And then this flaming cake, you know, it was on flames with all these candles burning. She brought this flaming cake right into Srila Prabhupada's room in front of his deities. And as she was taking it to offer it to Prabhupada's deities, Prabhupada was sitting behind his desk. His eyes grew big. He had never seen something like that in his life. Prabhupada never saw a birthday cake till he was 72 years old. Quite amazing. He never saw a birthday cake and flaming candles on top of it till he was 72. So when he saw this display, you know, a cake and candles on top of it, so his eyes grew big. And he turned towards Govinda Dasi and said, so, what is that? And I asked her, what is that? And she said, Prabhupada, this is called a cake, and this is our American way of celebrating birthdays. Prabhupada said, okay. So when the cake was offered, she brought it and the candles were still lit up. She said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, now you blow all the candles off. Prabhupada had never done something like this. He's saying, now you blow all these candles off straight. And Prabhupada, you should try and do it in one go. One blow and all go off. And while doing that, you can make a wish, Srila Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada was quite amused by the whole episode. But when he saw these candles, he went, he did that. And in one go, all 14 went off. Prabhupada turned toward Govindadasi and said, so how did I do? She said, Prabhupada, very good. At your age, in one go, you blew all the 14 candles off. And she said, Prabhupada, did you make a wish? And then she added, Prabhupada, you don't have to tell your wish to anyone, not even me. Prabhupada said, why? Why should I keep any secrets? I want to tell you my wish. So then Govindadasi said, Prabhupada, what was your wish? Srila Prabhupada said, my only wish was, I wanted Krishna and I wanted service to Krishna. I didn't have any other wish. So as I blew off these candles, I made only one wish. Let me be able to serve Krishna. That is the desire of a devotee. Every great devotee is obsessed by the desire to serve Krishna, in as much as a materialistic person is obsessed by the desire to serve one's senses. As a materialistic person is totally devoted, every materialistic person is also a pure devotee. He is a pure devotee of the senses. And is completely unalloyed devotion, ekeha kurunandana, vyavasaya atmika buddhi, with full focused attention is there to fulfill the desire to serve the senses. You know, conversely, a pure devotee is completely focused on his desire to have Krishna, service to Krishna and the grace of Krishna. So this chapter begins with this first principle, exhibiting the power of the intense desire of the gopis, who in the month of Margashirsha, in the Ritu or the season called Hemanta, desired. What was their desire? Nanda Gopasutam Patihi. They wanted to have the son of Nanda Maharaj as their husband. The second principle that is revealed in this chapter as this chapter progresses is that simply having the intensity and focus of desire does no good. Everyone desires, a lot of people desire, like we also hear a lot of japa seminars, we hear a lot of classes, and most times we also make a desire, I want to change. Every single class we hear, every single talk we hear, brings in a revolution of thinking. Vichar changes. But for achar to change, is very difficult. And therefore, desire is one thing, but the desire also has to be expressed through sincere and intense effort. So here we find the gopis desiring Krishna, but they don't just sit at home thinking, I want Krishna. There is an effort taken in that direction to achieve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to quote that verse, Nahi suptasya simhasya praveshanti mukhe mrigaha. Nahi suptasya simhasya. The lion is sleeping in the forest, and when the deer mriga is passing by, the lion is thinking that let the deer come and enter in my mouth and I can eat the deer peacefully. Srila Prabhupada said, simply sitting there and desiring that the deer will come and I can eat the deer works no good for the lion. The lion will remain hungry. In fact, in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada said, the deer will come, and as the lion opens the mouth, the deer will raise its leg and pass urine in the mouth of the lion and then go away. You know, Srila Prabhupada said this in one lecture, you know, that the deer will pass urine in the mouth of the lion and go away. Any desire to be fulfilled on the material or spiritual plane needs to be expressed through the sincerity of effort. Maharaj Pratap Rudra had the desire, intense desire to have an audience with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he did not keep his desire in his heart. You know, he expressed this desire through sincere effort. And the first step of that sincere effort was to approach his spiritual master, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. And then Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya guided him, and there was a series of steps taken. A lot of effort that was put. Bhakti is the path of grace. Without the grace of Krishna, there is no question of spiritual achievement. At the same time, unless there is focused spiritual effort through which that desire is expressed, grace doesn't come. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra kept working hard, constantly kept trying different ways and means, as guided by Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, as guided by Nityananda Prabhu, as guided by all the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He kept expressing that desire through the sincerity of his efforts. And therefore we find here also the gopis, you know, taking up a vrata. They desired Krishna, but that desire was expressed through their effort to take up a 1 month vrata. For that whole 1 month they were to worship Katyayani Devi, and for that whole 1 month they were to simply subsist on khichdi. You know, my God, that's too much. That's a lot, that some seems to be a lot. Every day khichdi, and the disciples of Srila Prabhupada comment in the purport, in this vrata there is no salt, no nothing in the khichdi. There is only some boiled rice, and they comment, boiled rice and mung dal with some sabji, which is called havishanna. You know, it's quite an austere thing. They express their desire through taking up this rigid vrata to achieve the grace of Lord Sri Krishna. This chapter progresses further with the third principle, where Krishna is called Yogeshwara Ishwara. Yogeshwara means one who is the master of all mystics. People get totally fascinated by magic, is it not? See David Copperfield, David Blaine, Chris Angels, PC Sarkar. Magic is absolutely fascinating. In one of our Gita classes, someone had taught me a magic trick, so I did that magic trick. You know, I wear half sleeve kurtas, so there's no question of hiding anything anyway. So I just showed everyone my palms like this, open both ways, and there was nothing. And then I turned it into a fist and pulled out a cloth, you know. And my God, everyone was fascinated. And then I closed the fist and pushed the cloth inside, and the cloth was gone. And I said, now tell me, how did I do this? So everyone was scratching their heads to find out, kidhar chipaya? Magic is a trick. Magicians only perform tricks, you know. Where did you hide that cloth? They were wondering. And then I said, what you are trying to do is aroha pantha, or ascending knowledge. You can never understand how I did it. But if I tell you how I did it, which is called avaroha pantha, or the descending way of acquiring knowledge, in 2 seconds you will learn how I did it. I'm not going to tell how I did it, obviously. Otherwise my trick is gone. And I never tell people how I did it. They come and ask me, if I say any questions, they say, how did you do that? Said, any questions on the class? People in this world are absolutely fascinated by magic. David Copperfield made the Statue of Liberty disappear in front of thousands of people in the United States, sitting in front of the river there. He made the Statue of Liberty disappear to human eye. And one of the most fascinating parts of this magic trick was that even television and video camera could not find it. There were radars all around and they could not take it. It was something called as Indrajal probably, I don't know. Magic is extremely fascinating. And what to speak if one has the ability to read minds. My God. It's quite a powerful technique. Very helpful in counseling. You know, if someone is counseling someone and a guy comes and sits in front of the person, and if one is able to read the mind of that person, good heavens, you can just understand what that person is going through without him to even express it. Very tough, isn't it? There are people who have this capacity of mind reading based on body language, physiognomy. They can know what is in others' minds. But this is just trickery most of the times. Yogeshwar means people who have mystic powers, masters of mystic powers. And people who are masters of mystic powers have ability to do a lot of things. There are multiple siddhis, the ashta siddhis, and beyond ashta siddhis there are secondary siddhis, and one of the siddhis is the ability to read the content of the mind. So speaker, if he has siddhi and is sitting on the Vyasasana, can very well read what the audience is going through. He can even read the minds of the audience when the audience is thinking, what the hell is he talking? You know, yeah. One can read the mind very well with this mystic powers. But Lord Krishna is called Yogeshwara Ishwara. the master of those who are masters of mystics. He can't just read what is in the mind. No magician, no yogi can go to the core of the soul and see what the person desires. A magician with his trickery, a person who has the ability to read minds, a Yogeshwara who knows the master of mystic power can read the mind. Beyond the mind, they fail. You can go and sit in front of a yogi, he can tell you what is on the mind. You know, one can go near Udaipur, there is a village called Karoi, just next to Udaipur. It's a village of astrologers. And they're all mystical astrologers. They're not astrologers who just go by the horoscopes. Many of them are Bhrigus, coming in the line of Bhrigu Muni, and they refer to the Bhrigu Samhita. You may refer to the traveling diary of His Holiness Indridyumna Swami Maharaj, and you'll find the whole story he tells about how he visited one of these Bhrigus. And one very famous personality there who even counseled the President of India. He is the personal astrologer to the President of the country, you know, who has the ability, the mystical ability to go beyond just external calculations and see through the mind of the person and read the mind. Unfortunately, however, one cannot cross the level of the mind to go beyond the mind to the very core of a person's being and to see what is the desire of that person, you know. Lord Krishna in this chapter is referred to as Yogeshwara Ishwaraha because he is able to go beyond all the external facades of the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the ego and reach the very soul of the person and see what the person desires, you know. Srila Prabhupada, empowered by Lord Krishna and the spiritual master empowered by Lord Krishna, gets this mystic ability to go beyond the mind. If we hear Srila Prabhupada's disciples, a lot of times we'll hear that they would, you know, come in front of Srila Prabhupada and they thought Prabhupada was like an X-ray machine, going way beyond the external facade that someone could put up and see the very core of the personality of that devotee and understand what that devotee feels, desires and is going through. One time Srila Prabhupada was sitting and giving a talk and one sannyasi, a lot of devotees were sitting, and a sannyasi had come after a lot of preaching, a lot of fund collection, and he came and he sat right in front of Srila Prabhupada with the strong desire that Srila Prabhupada will acknowledge it and speak it in the talk, you know, that Srila Prabhupada will express in front of everyone that this sannyasi went out or this devotee went out, he did so much preaching, he collected so many funds and he brought so much money. And Srila Prabhupada sat there. He had known. Reports had gone to him that this had happened. He didn't say anything. And after a while, there was a flower vase on Srila Prabhupada's table. You know? Small flower vase with two or three roses in there. It wasn't like also very ornately decorated and formed flower vase. And this little flower vase with two or three roses there. And after the lecture, Srila Prabhupada said, "So, who has made this flower vase?" And this sannyasi was thinking, "My God, I did so much." And he didn't even ask him. And here there is a little flower vase, it's not even very nicely arranged, and he's asking who made this flower vase. And then devotee said, "Prabhupada, this one Mataji made this flower vase." And this lady had never come in front of Srila Prabhupada. Simple lady doing her services, she never came in front of Srila Prabhupada. She was hiding behind somewhere. And then they went looking for her. Where is this lady? And they brought that lady. And she was standing right at the back, and Srila Prabhupada said, "What a beautiful flower vase you made, you know. Such beautiful flower was, such nice choice of flowers," and he started glorifying her. Because the spiritual master empowered by Lord Krishna can go beyond the external facade and see what is at the very core of a devotee's personality. So as this chapter progresses further, the third principle we see is Lord Krishna is Yogeshwara, Ishwara, the master of all masters of mystic powers, because he could see the desires of the gopis. Lord Krishna arrived at the banks of the river Kalindi. But the fourth principle we see in this chapter is that bhakti is the science of reciprocation. When there is sincere desire, when that desire is expressed through effort, sincere and intense effort, Lord Krishna and the spiritual master can see the sincere desire of a devotee and come and reciprocate with that devotee, you know. We see the story of Pratapudra Maharaj as well. There was a lot of reciprocation that came after a while. When the reciprocation comes, it comes at Krishna's terms by Krishna's clock. You know, reciprocation comes by Krishna's clock, not by our clock. And it comes absolutely in the way Krishna wants it. Like in Jagannath Puri, devotees, I mean you can hear so many stories from the Rathyatra of devotees expressing how Jagannath was fully reciprocating with the desires of the devotees. One of our brahmacharis from Vada, G.V., he went for the Rathyatra. He went like 4 o'clock in the morning, sitting there to see the Pahandi, you know. And the night before he hadn't eaten anything. So lunch he had taken the day before. Whole day didn't eat anything. Next day went at 4 o'clock, didn't get anything to eat. Rathyatra started 3 o'clock. This man is pulling the rath and he hadn't even thought about it. I mean, you can't think anything in the middle of pulling the cart. When the rope is there and the crowd is there and the police is there, you just can't think about anything. He was so totally focused on trying to pull the cart, he didn't even know. But at a certain point of time, while pulling the cart, he suddenly thought, I'm just feeling too weak. I'm famished. I've not eaten anything now more than nearing 24 hours. I haven't eaten anything. Feeling totally famished and I don't know. I've come here to pull the cart of Lord Jagannath. And he's praying to Lord Jagannath. I don't want to trouble you to give anything to me to eat in the middle of the Rathya. I mean, you are having a nice car ride. I don't want you to trouble you for anything. Sorry. But to pull your cart only. I don't want to trouble you to get anything to you, but to pull your cart. Can you believe this? As he's pulling the cart, thinking like this, he opens his eyes and because of such a crowd, he just happened to see downward and there was a pack of biscuits lying right at his lotus feet. He picked it up and he said, I have no choice now. He offered the biscuit packet to Lord Jagannath and ate all those biscuits. And then he was telling me the story in Puri, he's a brahmachari at our GEV farm. And he was telling me the story in Puri and he's telling me, Prabhuji, I know that this is not the best of desires to make and this is not the best of reciprocation. But he said, Krishna can see. He knows, Yogeshwara Ishwara. He knows what the core of the heart is, what the desire is. And Krishna reciprocates. Srila Prabhupada, he said that when he was on the Jaladuta, going through his heart attacks, he could feel the reciprocation of Lord Krishna. He was trying to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master to preach the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western world. And he could feel the reciprocation of Krishna. You know, Krishna coming to treat him on board the Jaladuta. Therefore, one devotee was mentioning, when Krishna reciprocates, we may not see Krishna's face, but we can always see Krishna's hand. You know, Krishna's hand can always be seen. Krishna's face is not seen, but Krishna's hand in our life can always be seen. How Krishna reciprocates through guru, through devotees, through someone is a whole different realm. Krishna sees the sincerity of the heart of a devotee and comes in different ways, different shapes, different forms and reciprocates with the sincere effort of the devotees. So Lord Krishna came on the banks of the river Kalindi. The fifth principle, as this story moves on, is Lord Krishna took the garments of the gopis and they didn't have a single piece of cloth on their bodies. All these young teenage gopis were bathing in the river Kalindi, totally nirvastraha, unclothed. He came and he picked up all of these clothes and put it on the branch of the tree and he had brought his companions along. He would now ask the gopis to come out, you know. And he had brought his companions. Arey, if he wanted to do all this, he could have just come alone, no? He brought 4 of his companions along. How can you do that, you know? I mean, if Krishna has his relationship, he is God, and he is on the spiritual platform, and the gopis are on the spiritual platform, and on the spiritual platform all of this is happening, fair enough. Why bring people? He brought 4 of his companions along with him. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad explains, you know, that when he brought these companions, all these companions were 2-year-old friends. Sudam, Vasudam, one more some name, and Kinkini. These were their 4 names. And little children who, and they were not wearing any clothes as well. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad explained, these four friends, little boys, 2-year-old boys, they don't have any sense of dressing or know someone else dressing. All these four personalities, he climbed on the tree and I don't know how, but he put all four of them also on the trees. Probably he lifted them and put them along with them on the tree. So all four of these companions and Lord Krishna are sitting there on the tree, and children are very innocent. 2-year-olds are very innocent, they can't see anything. They don't understand all this discrimination between physical things, bodies, men, women, nothing. There was a guy, a little boy of 2-year-old, traveling in a car with his father, and there was a traffic light. The car stopped at the traffic light, so the child immediately nudged his father and said, "Papa, Papa, see out there." So the father turned right and saw that there was a car and there was a lady who was totally unclothed driving the car. She had no clothes on her body at all. So the father was surprised. "Bachche ko kaise samjha? How does this child understand?" So the father asked the child, "What happened? Tell me, what is it?" He said, "See, no, she's not wearing a seatbelt, Papa." That's a child. He doesn't see clothes, no clothes. He's seeing that she doesn't have a seatbelt. 2-year-old children don't understand any of these things. Lord Krishna brought these 2-year-olds, four of his companions, as the Bhagavatam explains, and brought them and made them sit along with them, you know, on the branches. In one of our acharyas explains, why did Lord Krishna reciprocate with the desire of the gopis? They had a desire, they put that effort to do the vrata, but no desire and effort gets grace. Only blessings can bring grace. We may desire to get Krishna, and we may even put all our sincere efforts to get the grace of Krishna, but desire and efforts are no good on the spiritual path. Bhakti is the path of grace, and grace can only come when blessings are showered upon us by those who are dear to Lord Krishna. So why did Krishna come to reciprocate with the gopis? Three reasons. First is, they were bathing in the river Kalindi, Yamuna. And while they were bathing in the river Kalindi, they were having an intense desire to achieve Krishna. So our acharyas have explained, Kalindi blessed the gopis. A Vaishnavi like Yamuna, Kalindi blessed the gopis. May your vrat be successful. Secondly, they had worshipped Katyayani Devi. And our acharyas have explained that Katyayani Devi is the Yogamaya potency of the Lord. They had achieved blessings of the Yogamaya Shakti, Katyayani Devi. And thirdly, the acharyas explained that they had performed this vrata in the month of Margashirsha. And in the Gita, Lord Krishna says, Masanam Margashirshoham. Amongst months, I am Margashirsha. So Krishna decided to reciprocate because the blessings were there. Kalindi had blessed, Katyayani had blessed. Simply the desire and the effort wasn't sufficient. Therefore, on the path of bhakti, we all may make a desire and we all may endeavor very strongly to fulfill our spiritual desires. But only when there is the power of blessings that comes from those who are dear to Lord Krishna. When those who are dear to Lord Krishna bless us, then we can see the fulfillment of our spiritual vows. As the gopis saw that their clothes were not there, they started asking Lord Krishna and pleading with Lord Krishna to return their garments. Lord Krishna was joking around with them, and as Krishna was laughing, the kids were also laughing. They didn't understand anything, obviously. You see, sometimes when a class has been given and something humorous comes, a little child is sitting, everyone laughs, he laughs the loudest. Not that he understands. But kids are like that, they laugh, then everyone else laughs. They were also laughing as Krishna was laughing. Krishna said, "If you want your garments, please come out and take them." That was too much. Too much to come out and take the garments like that. Said, "You said you accepted me, you wanted me. You wanted me as a husband, now come out." And the level of the surrender of the gopis was, they came out holding themselves in a certain way that they wouldn't feel embarrassed. And then Lord Krishna told them, "Hey, look, you have offended the river by bathing without any clothes. So now to nullify that offense, pull your hands up and put your hands up to offer obeisances to the river." That was too much to ask. Too much to ask for. The gopis did it. You know, the gopis did that. And therefore the reciprocation of Krishna comes in the form of the opportunity to surrender. And when it comes to surrender, many times it's not at our terms. Not at the terms that we want to surrender. Many times Krishna asks us to give up things that we hold on to the most. It's a very scary concept, you know. Very scary thing. That which is the most sacred, that which we hold on as our identity, Krishna just asks us to give that up. For the gopis, their identity as a lady was so strong, their chastity was so strong, Krishna wanted them to give up that identity and surrender. You know, we hear the story of Srila Prabhupada telling His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, you know, go to China. For me, that on the platform of sadhana bhakti is gopis taking their clothes off. I hold on to something which is very important to me, my preaching, my project or whatever, and then the guru says, no, stop this and go there. And the whole society, ISKCON society, is filled with examples, sterling examples of devotees who don't hold on to what they consider sacred or what they like. Services are of two kinds, you know. One service is that which we like to do, and the other service is that which we have to do. That which we have to do brings purification, that which we like to do brings inspiration. You know, we like to do something, we are extremely inspired by that service. We don't like to do something, we are extremely purified by that service. And somehow or the other, there is a constant demand on the path of bhakti to give on, to give up things that we hold very sacred, we hold very important, or we feel that this is my niche or this is the way I have to do things. And it's a very scary thing because it means to give up. In bhakti there are two things. One is to give to Krishna and second is to give up for Krishna. Both means give. Mark Twain, he made a nice quote. He said, one can make a living by what one gets, but one can make a life by what one gives. Making a living is by what one gets. Making a life is by what one gives. And when it comes to giving to Krishna, one is giving to, one is giving up. And when we do what we like, many times it is giving to Krishna what I like to do. Many times giving to doesn't please Krishna and Guru. And because of the need of the hour, the Guru, representing Krishna, asks us not just now to give to Krishna what we like, but give up that and do something else for Krishna. It's a very scary thing, you know. Very scary thing, because we hold on to something very tightly. Ambarish Prabhu, when he came, when he joined the temple, he was wearing saffron, you know. The great grandson of Henry Ford, wearing saffron, and whenever Srila Prabhupada would come to Detroit, he would go to pick Srila Prabhupada. You can imagine a nice young American boy coming from an affluent family, driving a Lincoln Continental, you know, for His Divine Grace. And once when he went, Brahmanand Prabhu was also sitting with Srila Prabhupada right behind in the back seat. Prabhupada was sitting in the front seat and Ambarish Prabhu was driving the car. And as he came, as the airport, he came to open the door, and Prabhupada said to the other devotees, he said, just see this boy. And Ambarish Prabhu didn't even have chappals in his feet, you know. He's wearing the saffron clothes, very simple saffron clothes, no chappals, no shoes in his feet, and he's going and opening the Lincoln Continental for His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada to drive that car. And Srila Prabhupada looked towards the other devotees and said, just see this boy, he's the great grandson of Henry Ford, and look at what he's done. Something that he held so much, his power, his position, he's given it all up to serve what I'm trying to do. And then as they were driving, the car went through where the Ford Motor Company is. And somewhere in 1864, 1964, the Ford Motor Company during the World Fair had got a very big tire. And right outside there, they had put that big tire, you know, in the outside the company. And Srila Prabhupada looked at that tire, you know, and he turned towards Ambarish Prabhu and mocked and very shyly smiled and said, seems like this is the presiding deity of Detroit. You know, this tire is the presiding deity of Detroit, you know. And then Brahmanand Prabhu, as they were going through both sides, their Ford Motor Company, so huge expanse, both sides of the Ford Motor Company. So as the car was passing through, Brahmanand Prabhu nudged Ambarish Prabhu as he was driving and said, hey Ambarish, So you work for this company, yeah? And Srila Prabhupada immediately chastised Brahmanand Prabhu. He said, what do you mean work? He is the owner of that company. And he has given it all up to come and serve Shri Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada very often would just appreciate that surrender that Ambarish Prabhu showed. You know, it's very hard. With such opulence, with such power, to give something up to serve Krishna. It's amazing. Therefore, our society is full of sterling examples of those devotees who didn't just give to Krishna, but also gave up for Krishna. And not just gave up things, but even gave up attachments to the particular services that they wanted to do. There are many devotees even here in this temple who have wanted to do and want to do certain services because that's their niche, that's their inspiration, that's what they like to do. At the same time, when it is asked of and when there is a need, they put everything else beside. And they have not been so concerned by just giving to, but they have been concerned by giving up for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. And such are the devotees with whom Krishna reciprocates. Here are the gopis of Vrindavan who hold their identity as a lady, as a young teenage lady, so seriously, their chastity. But when Krishna demands, they even are willing to put their hands up and come straight like that in front of Lord Krishna. Of course, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj always explains this story by saying, both are spiritual. Krishna is spiritual, the gopis are spiritual, so there's no tinge of material lust in this whole affair. You know? And at the same time, we also see that Krishna is trying to teach through this episode, Maharaj explains, that we are all like the gopis, this material body is like the set of clothes. And we have to come in front of Lord Krishna with no clothes. The soul will go back to Krishna in front of Krishna nirvastraha, with no material body, which is like a vasa or a cloth on the body. You know, as this episode progresses, the next principle evolves. And the next principle is, right in our face, this chapter points out our disqualification. Because as we read this chapter, to cross these verses, if our mind is absolutely clean and pure, we may be able to appreciate these verses. Straight away there is, you know, right in the face, it brings a challenge of, is Krishna God? I mean, when I read these verses, I suddenly find, what is Krishna telling, you know, come out of the waters with no clothes on, and then they are trying to cover themselves in a certain way because they shouldn't feel embarrassed, and suddenly Krishna is now saying, put your hands up, why? It's funny, you know. Extremely funny to the material senses in the material space-time frame. It's seen as an expression of mundane lust. And therefore there is a challenge immediately to accept Krishna as the transcendental autocrat who can choose what he likes to do. I mean, how can he just choose to do what he likes to do is my immediate response to what I read. Immediately when I read these verses, suddenly I find, okay, he's called the transcendental autocrat, dictator who can do whatever he likes. My mind says, why? How? How can he just do anything? They are surrendered, they have done this vrata, they want him to reciprocate in a certain way. How can Krishna just do like that? Immediately, there is a straight thing that comes on, at least to me. I feel suddenly disqualified, you know. Absolutely disqualified to read any of these things in these chapters. Because when I start reading this, I find a wall between me and Krishna. There are two kinds of walls. The wall is of two kinds, conceptual and practical. Between Krishna and us is a wall of misconceptions. How can Krishna do like this? And a wall of practical difficulties to achieve Krishna. The role of the spiritual master is to remove this wall between us and Krishna. You know? Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Venkat Bhatta says, Ami jiva kshudra buddhi sahaja asthir Ishwarera lila koti samudra gambhir. Ishwarera lila, the Lord's pastimes, are koti samudra gambhir. They are deep, like millions of oceans put together. And who am I? Ami jiva, an insignificant soul. Kshudra buddhi, with a very meager intelligence. And sahaja asthir, easily get agitated and disturbed. How am I to understand these pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, you know? You read Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Jiva Goswami, Shripad Vallabhacharya, Srila Vedanta Deshikan, so many of the acharyas, and when you start reading the commentaries of these acharyas on these verses, my God, you can't go one verse beyond. This is still okay. Bhagavatam spoken by Shukadeva Goswami is still very okay. You read any of these commentaries? My goodness. It's like a straight slap on my face to tell me that you're not qualified to read this stuff. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada constantly told devotees in ISKCON to read this stuff, to understand this stuff. Vrindavan is a very high thing. And to be able to understand these rasas and these mellows of Vrindavan and these pastimes and intimate reciprocations between Krishna and the gopis is a very tall order. One needs to be extremely qualified, purified in consciousness to be able to appreciate these things, you know. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was told by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He asked, can I print the Gita Govinda? Thrice he asked. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, yes, okay, print, publish. One copy for yourself. No one else can understand these books, you know. Therefore, one has to be very careful of delving in these matters without qualification. It's a very risky zone. A very dangerous zone. Vrindavan is a very sacred area. To enter into Vrindavan, to enter into these intimate dealings of Vrindavan, it's hard not to get affected by material feelings, you know, very difficult. And therefore, as this chapter progresses further, this principle of disqualification comes up. Srila Prabhupada in the West, when the devotees formed the GBC, Gopi Bhav Club, nipped it in the bud. As he came there and heard that they had formed a parallel GBC. GBC was the governing body commission, but some devotees formed a parallel GBC, govern Gopi Bhav Club. Prabhupada nipped that idea in the bud because he knew one has to have the digestive power to assimilate these subject matters. Finally, in conclusion, Shukadeva Goswami is very kind of all of us. In this pastime, when all the gopis come out, Shukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj how Lord Krishna saw them. Shuddha Bhava Prasaditaha. When Lord Krishna saw the gopis, Shuddha Bhava, he could see the spiritual body. Shukadeva Goswami walking around and sees, you know, all of these young girls bathing without clothes on, was unaffected. Arjun goes to the heavenly planets and Indra feels that Arjun is interested in Urvashi. And Arjun was not even seeing Urvashi as a lady. He was just appreciating her dance. He wasn't even looking at her with that feeling. You know, even those who are great souls like Shukadeva Goswami and Arjun have very clean vision when they see, you know. Ladies, the opposite sex, they see with a very clean vision. Once when Srila Prabhupada was driving, one cab driver was driving Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada, this cab driver asked Srila Prabhupada, so Swamiji, many Indian yogis and mystics, they can perform so many miracles. Some can bring ash, some can bring cash, some can bring gold chain, some can walk this, some can stand on a bed of nails, some can sleep on a bed of nails. You can know so many different mystical activities. What is your magic, Srila Prabhupada? Swamiji, what can you do? Srila Prabhupada said, I can walk into a room full of women who have not a single piece of cloth on their bodies and I will not be disturbed, you know. So we see many great devotees not affected by any of these things simply by the dint of their devotional service to Krishna and what to speak of Krishna. If devotees of Krishna, pure devotees of Krishna, by the dint of their devotional service can go beyond anything physical, what to speak of Lord Krishna himself, who is addressed by Shukadeva Goswami here as Shuddha Bhava Prasaditaha. He had a clean vision because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all are his parts and parcels only. Therefore, what is bad, the culprit is not the senses. The culprit is the mentality behind the senses. The exploitative mentality behind the senses. Therefore, Krishna consciousness purifies that exploitative mentality and then one can see every person and everything simply as an object or a person to engage in service to Krishna. Without that mentality, without that consciousness, then there is no Shuddha Bhav. That Bhav, when that Bhav is contaminated, then one sees everything as an object of one's enjoyment. But when one's purified, that with that purified mentality, one can see the world simply as Krishna's energy and can use that in service to Krishna. Therefore, in this particular verse we read, the gopis were totally absorbed in Krishna. and therefore their desires had become spiritual. Just like when barley corns, when barley corns are put in the sun, they lose that potency to sprout again. Similarly, when desires, when one is absorbed in Krishna, then those desires lose the potency for selfish exploitation. Then those desires are simply engaged in service to Krishna. Therefore, in this whole chapter, we find how all these different principles are mingled through. Firstly, we find the intensity of the desire of the gopis. Secondly, we find how Lord Krishna, how they express their desire through the vrata for that 1 month. Thirdly, we find how Lord Krishna is Yogeshwara, Ishwara, who understands the core of the desire of a devotee. Fourthly, we find how Lord Krishna reciprocates with the devotee's sincere desire. Fifthly, we find how Krishna reciprocates because of blessings of devotees like Kalindi and Katyayani for gopis. Sixthly, we find how Krishna demands them to surrender, not just to give to, but also to give up what they hold sacred. Seventhly, we find how we may not have the qualification to read these chapters and the content of this and the subject matter of these chapters. And finally, we also find how Lord Krishna is said to be Arshuddha Bhava Prasaditaha, and devotees who absorb their consciousness in Krishna, Maya Veshita Dhyam, the more one is absorbed in Krishna, the more these barley corns of material desire to that bhava to exploit the world is gone. And then when there is Shuddha Bhav, like Shukadeva Goswami, like Arjun, like Srila Prabhupada, then one can see the world with a pure vision, And therefore this chapter progresses like that further to explain many of these principles. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Thank you.